I'm standing on the picturesque square of Pernštín Novo Náměstí, in the centre of Pardubice, about an hour away from Prague in East Bohemia, which is where this edition of Spotlight comes from. The pretty Renaissance buildings on Pernštín Novo Náměstí and the impressive chateau nearby give an indication of this town's long and rich history, which saw it evolve from a prosperous hamlet in the Middle Ages to an industrial powerhouse by the start of the 20th century. The first historical reference to Pardubice dates back to 1295, and the original settlement was officially declared a town in 1340. Pardubice began to flourish as an urban centre in the region when it was taken over by the Pernštín noble family at the end of the 15th century. They turned the town's original castle into the opulent chateau that still stands to this day. They also rebuilt the town on a large scale, first in a late Gothic and then in an early Renaissance style. Many of the buildings erected at the time are still in existence, and it's easy to see why "to sparkle like Pardubice" was a popular saying at the time, when you see the imposing grandeur of these old municipal houses. The town suffered a lot during the 30 Years' War and was nearly razed to the ground during an attack by Swedish troops in 1645. It took a long time for Pardubice to get over this setback, and it only really began to come into its own again with the advent of the railway in the late 19th century. David Kopitz is head of external relations for Pardubice City Hall.
The railway has been and still is important as it connects the capital of Prague with the south, with Moravia. And since Pardubice has been one of the key routes or key transport knots, this could be a reason for many investors to come here and for the industry to keep developing. It also allowed a greater involvement of the population. So with higher population, you have more workers and more speedy economic development.
After the arrival of the railroad, Pardubice quickly became known as something of a manufacturing powerhouse by the early 20th century. It was to remain a centre of industry right throughout the socialist era, particularly as a centre of chemical and engineering production. Unlike many other places that were hubs of state enterprise under socialism, the technical nature of Pardubice's staple industries meant that its highly skilled workforce were able to successfully adjust to the economic transformation that occurred after 1989. David Kopitz again.
Pardubice is still today an industrial city, even though the industries have been restructured in the 90s. Initially, it was particularly chemical industry, and later on, it was also heavy engineering as a very common industry in the socialist times. And now in the 90s, we have been focusing on newly on electronics through a Taiwanese company, Foxconn, one of the largest manufacturers of computer components in the world. And the second industry that begins to dominate in Pardubice is subcontracting for the automobile area, automobile manufacturers. Those are the new modern industries. Nonetheless, the chemical and partially engineering still persists.
One of the most famous, or rather notorious, products manufactured in Pardubice is the plastic explosive Semtex, which was the weapon of choice for many terrorist organizations in the 1970s and 80s, because of the fact that it was so hard for security screening equipment to detect it. Semtex is still produced here, but thankfully its manufacturers now make sure to tag all exports so they can be picked up by X-ray machines. It's safe to assume, however, that most natives of Pardubice are more proud of their town's other extremely famous export. The tradition of making gingerbread in Pardubice dates back to the 16th century, when a special guild of gingerbread bakers was established in the town. Over the years, they refined and improved recipes to such an extent that the town became synonymous with this confection. Pardubice gingerbread is now even in the process of being granted a special geographical trademark by the European Union. According to David Kopitz, there are still a number of gingerbread companies in Pardubice to this day, and the consumption of gingerbread is very much part of life in the town.
There are generally two kinds of gingerbread. One would be decorated gingerbread that can be eaten, but mostly it's kept on the shelf as a souvenir, because those are quite art pieces, I would say. And the second kind would be gingerbread for eating, that's just nicely wrapped. And with this kind, we also have a tradition that after ice hockey game, if the team wins, spectators throw this kind of gingerbread on the ice. The gingerbread is collected and taken to a local school for handicapped. So this would be another tradition linked to gingerbread.
Ice hockey is actually very much part of the fabric of Pardubice, and the town boasts a very proud hockey tradition. The local team is one of the top outfits in the Czech National League and has produced many excellent players, including NHL stars Michal Sikora and legendary goaltender Dominik Hasek. Nevertheless, ice hockey is far from the only sport associated with Pardubice. Velká Pardubická steeplechase, which is sometimes known as the Czech Grand National. This event has been held in Pardubice since as far back as 1874, and it has developed a reputation as one of the most grueling and challenging steeplechases in the world. It has long occupied an important place on the continental racing calendar, and as many as 30,000 people from all over Europe descend on the town for the annual Velká Pardubická race meeting. According to David Kopitz, this race meeting is just one of the many delights Pardubice has to offer visitors.
All the visitors should not come just to see the city itself, but rather the happening inside the city. Sports is definitely something to see. If not Velká Pardubická, then possibly the Golden Helmet, famous speedway racing, or one of the hockey games or basketball games. Everything is on a very top of the national leagues. From the historical monuments, we like to present the castle as a pride of the city. And as you also have seen, the historic Penštinské square is worth mentioning. Now it's been almost fully reconstructed, renovated, and I believe it is admired by most of the tourists.
The quality of the amenities in and around Pardubice is one of the reasons why the town is considered by many to be one of the most attractive places to live in the Czech Republic. In fact, earlier this year, a Czech daily newspaper conducted an exhaustive survey of locations in the Czech Republic and declared Pardubice to be the best place to reside in this country. It's a conclusion that does not surprise David Kopitz.
Pardubice is becoming also a very modern city with new developments, new housing. There is a very low unemployment rate. It's now below 5% in the region and below 4% in Pardubice itself. There is a good access to jobs. There is fairly good access to this cultural and sporting life. There is also some nature sites around Pardubice. We can go biking, skating, lots of possibilities for free time adventures. There is also the university that offers very decent education, belongs to top 10 in Czech. So plenty of attractions, and I could understand that Pardubice, with the size of about 90,000 inhabitants, would become one of the best places to live in the Czech Republic.